Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back. 4 o'clock hour. Third hour of the Dana and Parks program. Wednesday edition. We have lost another star from the TV series Dallas. Priscilla Pointer, who is also in the horror film classic Carrie, has died at the age of 100.
Oh, I remember her.
She was Cliff Barnes' mom on the TV series Dallas. She played Rebecca Barnes Wentworth from 1981 to 1983. And as I mentioned, she was also in Carrie.
Anyone our age or older will 100% remember her as the friend in Carrie that I think she was one of the ones that was not very nice to Sissy Spacek.
So you may not remember her name, but looked her up online when I saw, you know, Dallas Star has passed, whatever, and I clicked on it, I immediately recognized her face.
Yep. I have reached out, Dan.
Yes.
Logan.
Yes.
To the Kansas City Zoo. We would like to have the director of the zoo on this afternoon. But before we do, I want to throw out the hypothetical that has taken over social media today. From Rolling Stone magazine. Could 100 men...
Oh, this is everywhere.
...beat a gorilla in a fight?
All at one time?
Mm-hmm.
The latest debate to tear through the internet envisions a gladiator battle between 100 men and one of our great ape relatives.
Keep in mind, a great ape gorilla can lift 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, they're incredibly strong and powerful, but yeah, 100 men, yeah.
The memes have exploded. People are
like you and
envisioning
me, man.
All manner of outcome from the gorilla, quote, going to the club after smoking 100 dumb people, or letting the last human live, quote, so he can tell everyone what happened.
Well, we don't expect the full 100 to survive.
Well, Dan, that's why I asked, because humans are now strategizing how they would restrain the 400-pound ape by working together.
Are we talking about a silverback? Because they're giants.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Do you play dead once the limbs start flying?
No, you don't have to play it. You are.
I mean, I wouldn't use 100 because there's just no room.
One comedian weighed in and said, I'm helping the gorilla blank y'all. This job market's overcrowded.
See, because my guess would be only 5 could get at the gorilla at any given moment.
You could have more depending, you know, go low, go high, go middle, come from the back. You got to hold down, restrain, and then you have others that go in to attack.
Encyclopedia Britannica has weighed in. They have posted a 100 men versus one gorilla study pack consisting of anatomical diagrams of both humans and gorillas. We have a YouTuber sharing a thumbnail for a fake video based on the concept. We have one Twitter user saying they would use sign language to disarm him. Me, Michael. Michael, friend gorilla. No fight gorilla.
You wouldn't have arms to do sign language after about 2 seconds.
Why is this the thing?
It is everywhere.
That goes viral. Have you ever read the book, The Tipping Point? I love breaking down phenomenon like this. I really do.
What do you think? Could 100 men take down a gorilla?
I'm more interested in the reason behind so many people weighing in and caring. Do we need the distraction?
Well, it's kind of like the dress from a couple years ago. What color is it really? And because there's no answer.
It's blue and gold, but whatever.
Well, I thought so too, but other people saw it as something else. I can't remember the other two colors. Because the answer is unattainable. And could 100 men beat a gorilla? If all 100 could get to the gorilla at the same time, maybe. But I would make the argument that only 5 to 6 men could get to the gorilla at any given moment, and they're going to die.
Well, there's going to be sacrifices. That's what I'm saying. Not all 100 are going to survive.
Yeah, who's going to be the first 5 in?
That's you go right. First, Dan.
Bob, go.
I ain't walking point for you.
Oh, the phones are ringing. Listen to this, Scott. That's why Rolling Stone has seen fit to waste the time of 3 professionals qualified to tell us once and for all how a 100 guys versus 1 gorilla matchup would go. Quoting here from Ron McGill, as a wildlife conservationist, I would never want to see this come to fruition. He also points out that from a practical perspective, gorillas are in fact gentle giants and would avoid this conflict whenever possible.
I don't agree with that.
The silverback.
Yes.
Is likely to be the one so aggressive to protect his family.
Correct.
What this proves, he says, is that some people have way too much time on their hands to love and create scenarios that help feed curiosity.
See, and here's what you've got to factor in. The gorilla, let me rephrase, the 100 men have one thing that the gorilla does not: fear. The gorilla don't care. It's like a honey badger.
The gorilla would be scared, and that's why it'd be even more dangerous.
Yes, but the humans would be scared, which would make them tepid.
Well, the uncoordinated humans are likely to panic.
See, but Dan, if we're walking in with 54-year-old Dan Weinbaum and 53-year-old Scott Parks and 98 other people just like you and me, we're done.
Well, no, we're not, because we're older and wiser. We're going to stay back.
Yeah, you guys are going to be the ones hanging back.
Let the young guns go in first.
And get killed, and then we'll at some point in. It's our turn to get killed.
From the wildlife conservationist, the human assault force, quote, would have to expect severe collateral damage. That includes anything from death to broken necks, severe arterial bite wounds, massive concussions, fatal brain bleeds, and, wait for it, asphyxiation from other men piling on top of them.
I would think about 20 to 25% will not make it.
The words paralyzed and disfigurement appear in this article.
Oh, yeah.
So did asphyxiation. I'm telling you, I don't know, and I don't ever want to find out.
Of course not.
But I think a gorilla could beat 100 men.
Agreed.
One at a time. He would throw you five at a time. He would pick you up and throw you in fives.
It would be five at a time.
Yeah.
Gorillas are silverback gorillas are capable of throwing up to 1,800 pound objects.
They can literally lift 2,000 pounds at a time.
Yeah, what you do their bite force is like 6 times that of a human being.
That's why you come from the back. You sneak up behind, and with a swift kick, it'll bring him down.
Dan, I think you're delusional.
Dan, a swift kick is just going to alert him that there's somebody behind him that needs to die.
Oh, it's
going
to hurt them too.
A swift kick to the... Have you seen a silverback? They've got more muscle than muscle.
Dan, we're going to wait and see what the director of the Kansas City Zoo has to say about this.
Call the zoo. Let's arrange it.
Because they don't have more important things to do today than to weigh in on this ridiculous debate.
I actually feel sorry, you know, and I love the Kansas City Zoo. I think it is one of the gems of our town.
I love it.
But they do have a silverback gorilla at the zoo, and I always feel sorry for them because I think the gorilla is really smart. Mm-hmm. And he's got to be bored out of his gourd in that enclosure. Now, it's not a small enclosure, don't get me wrong, but it is an enclosure nonetheless.
Yeah, but they do all kinds of activities for them to keep them.
Like wrestle 100 men?
Yes. That could, well, you know what? That could be one of the activities.
Logan, you're in your 20s,
raise some
right?
money for Friends of the Zoo.
What are you offering me up for here, Dan?
Let's gather all the people in the building what we need that are to do, 30 or younger.
What we need to do is get...
It's like
you're
four
right,
of
Dan.
Us.
No, we need to get you and Hartzell, a handful of other people from downstairs.
Sam. I mean, Sam Stevie would be about as tall.
Sam. And what we do is we get like 120-something-year-old viral men in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And we place bets.
That's right.
Virile or viral?
Viral.
I don't think they should be viral.
Right.
What would
virile.
One be what would one be viral with?
Did I say the word wrong?
Tuberculosis?
Well, maybe HIV. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have time. Is it viral?
It's viral.
Thank you.
I don't like what I'm being signed up for.
Well, you're young. You don't viral. Know how to say. Viral.
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 They could be viral.
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 And virile. You dork. All right. Email's been sent.
Okay. Logan.
Nice knowing you.
Thanks, guys.
I wouldn't put a dollar on you.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't put all my money on the gorilla, please.
I think the gorilla would want to protect you because you look like such a baby.
I do.
The gorilla
I
would
do.
Say, get him out of there.
And your head would just pop off
Let's
so
protect
easily.
That little
just
baby.
Like a cherry tomato. It would not last.
You know what your head would sound like when it came off your neck?
All right. Okay.
Just like a children's toy?
Poor thing.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Story here from CNN. All 11 West Hill High School lacrosse players suspected of being involved in hazing a teammate have turned themselves in. This is in near Syracuse, New York. This is according to the district attorney. The non-juvenile students will be arraigned, while the juvenile students will go, quote, straight to family court. They face misdemeanor charges of unlawful imprisonment, according to district attorney William Fitzpatrick. The West Hill High School student-athletes, who are not being identified due to their age, are accused of victimizing five younger players in an incident that the DA says goes, quote, way, way beyond hazing. Fitzpatrick, William Fitzpatrick, the DA, made a one-time public offer to the suspects yesterday. Turn yourself in within 48 hours, and you will face a lesser serious misdemeanor charge of unlawful imprisonment. make us come find you, and we will charge you with felony kidnapping.
What happened in this case shocks the conscience. You heard the sheriff say, Scott, I cannot adequately express the level of stupidity and lack of judgment involved in this case. In fact, if one of the patrol officers had been on duty and passed by this scene, they would have come out of their squad cars with their guns drawn. The entire lacrosse team has been disbanded and the season is over. Even for the kids that had nothing to do with this.
Some of the suspects tricked the younger players into believing they were going to McDonald's after a lacrosse game last Thursday.
Like for team building.
The driver of the vehicle then claimed that he was lost in a remote part of the county. There, accomplices jumped out of the woods pretending to be kidnappers, according to the DA. The accomplices were dressed in black, wielding what appeared to be at least one handgun and at least one knife. Some of the victims were able to escape, but one of the students could not flee. The group put a pillowcase over the student's head, tied him up, threw him in the trunk of a car, before ditching him in another wooded part of the county. The younger player was eventually returned home, but quote, there was a period of time where he thought he was going to be abandoned in the middle of nowhere. Says the DA, and I quote, I've seen the videotape of what happened to this young man. It is not a rite of passage. It is not a trivial matter. I don't know how long this young man will be affected by what happened to him.
Let me answer that forever. This is something out of the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
They threw him out into the woods and made him think all of these armed crazy people were coming to kill him.
What happened to just like freshmen carry my equipment?
How about a wedgie?
I remember several years ago, there was a controversy because some of the underclassmen were told to eat their lunch using chopsticks instead of forks.
Where was this?
High school.
Oh, your high school?
That was the controversy because that fell under the definition of hazing. You're treating somebody differently.
Come on.
You look at a case like this, this is, for the upperclassmen, you are now not going to college. You
not on scholarship.
Were the weapons real? Have they said?
It doesn't say. It just says what appeared to be a handgun, what appeared to be a knife.
It doesn't matter.
You're right.
Correct? It's still aggravated. Like if you go in and rob a bank and the gun's not real, it's like,
it doesn't matter.
It turns out the gun wasn't really real. The teller is still going to be in therapy the rest of her life.
What does the victim perceive the weapon to be?
Yes. And the victim perceived he was going to die. That poor kid. You have to kick all of the kids out of school that were involved in this and protect the poor victims in this case from, you know, being shunned or, well, they were just joking around. Like, this is going to ruin that kid's life. The victim's life. I want to be clear. Yeah, the victim's life.
The DA had said before the 11 students turned themselves in, if you do not, if you think you're tougher than me, if you're a gambler and you're going to play the odds, you don't think you're going to get caught, trust me. The men and women of the sheriff's department are going to find you. They all 11 of them, turned themselves in earlier this afternoon. Listen, I'm not above a little ribbing of an underclassman. To your point, Logan, how about you carry the bags to the team bus? That's your deal. That's what you have to do, is you have to carry all the seniors' bags to the team bus. That's pretty typical. It's lame, but, you know, puts them in their place, reminds them, hey, you're just a freshman. We're the seniors. We're the boss. You're not. Carry our bags to the bus. To me, that's not hazing. That's just almost like an initiation to the team. But when you have, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's so absurd. When you're driving five freshmen out into the woods, four of them, by the way, got away. And somebody or some buddies come out of the woods with what appears to be a gun, what appears to be a knife, and they put a bag over this kid's head and throw him into the trunk of a car and then leave him abandoned out in the county. That is not hazing.
No, it's kidnapping.
I agree with the DA. That is way, way past hazing. And it's not even funny.
I turned it into this kid's own personal horror movie.
Yeah, but I will say this. I don't think they should disband the team. Because I don't know how many people it takes to play lacrosse. I think it's a 6-person on the field at one time team. But you have at least 5 freshmen.
Yep.
The 5 that were taken out into the woods, the 4 that escaped, the 1 that did not. Why should they be punished because of the misdeeds? Now, granted, they're going to go out and every game, these 5 freshmen and whoever didn't participate in the hazing, they're going to get their asses kicked. They're not going to be able to beat, you know, these 14-year-old kids are not going to be able to beat 17 and 18-year-olds
nope.
from some other school. But at least don't take the season away from them. Let them letter. Let them play.
Okay, but the last line in that story. Listen to this. The last line in the story from the, I think, the superintendent announced the rest of the boys' lacrosse season has been canceled. While the majority of the team members were not involved or aware of the incident, this is an indefensible act. Quote, we must address the culture of the program, and the most appropriate way to do it is with a reset. And so this means, Scott, that there are probably players on that team, probably seniors, maybe some of whom were going to go off and play for college.
Mm-hmm.
Their season is oh,
and it should, ver. But they didn't participate. They weren't involved. So why should they be punished?
So how far back does this go? There has to be an investigation, because if these boys came up with this idea to do it to the freshmen this year, who did this to them? When he says,
well, maybe nobody.
When he says the culture of the program, was there always hazing going on in that program for year to year? And then these boys go, well, remember what they did to us last year? We're going to make it even bigger this year.
Well, I don't know that that's fair to retroactively punish people.
But that's what's happening.
Well, but
that's what's happening with shutting down the entire season.
Well, I understand, but what I'm saying is you don't punish the 5 freshmen and the other players on the team who logic creeped into their brains and they said, I'm not going to participate in this. This is dumb. It's illegal. We're going to get in trouble. And they played the cards right. 11 students obviously did not. Kick them out of school. Kick them off the team for all I care. But don't punish the rest of the team that didn't participate in this behavior.
It feels like at the college level, we hear a lot like lack of institutional control. Like the onus is being put via the superintendent onto the coaching staff or the other players on the field.
Then fire the coach, Logan.
I agree with you, Scott. I'm in the same boat that you're in. I understand the decision by the superintendent, but this feels like one step too far.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Grab a couple. Let's go to Dell in Overland Park. Dell, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. We're on the subject of hazing. Can I tell you some memories from a long time ago when I joined a fraternity?
If you keep it clean.
Yeah. First of all, we'll start with the mild stuff. When we'd sit down for a nice dinner on the weekend, and they had a cook, and there'd be about 30 of us, the actives come around to us pledges, you know, we were still teenagers, and on a nice dinner, it'd be like potatoes and meat and vegetables. They would come around with a bottle of ketchup, bottle of mustard, and just squirt it on our food and make us eat it. But I couldn't. I had a weak stomach. I just told them, I'm going to get sick right here on your feet if you make me eat that. And then the other part was if your birthday came up, it didn't matter if it was in January, 20 guys would come after you and throw you in a lake, and it didn't matter if it had ice on it or not.
Oh.
And then homecoming, they would take a guy and get him out of bed, give him a blanket. He'd be in his underwear. They'd take him out in the country where he didn't know where he was in the truck and then let him loose and leave him there. He had to find his own way back. And then sometimes they'd get us up in the middle of the night, and we had a 3-story building we stayed in, and they'd make us slide down the stairs in our shorts, not using our hands or our feet, three layers of steps. And then when we get down to the bottom, they'd make us go in the showers and lay on our stomachs, and they would turn the cold water on.
Okay. Sounds like fun. That's why I never joined a fraternity. Huh. Pete Davidson's tattoo removal journey will be neither cheap nor brief.
Okay.
The former Saturday Night Live star, who is now 31, revealed in an interview with Variety magazine that he has spent $200,000 getting his tattoos removed, and he isn't even halfway finished. Quoting here from Davidson to the magazine, "It's a pretty uncomfortable amount of money to disclose, but I think one of the tabloids already leaked it. I've already spent like $200K, and I'm about 30% done, so it's going to suck." The comedian also said it may take another 10 years before all of his tattoos are gone, noting he still, quote, has to do my torso and my back.
Okay.
His tattoos were terrible.
This is why we should help guide our young people when they want to make life-altering decisions involving ink.
I have always wanted a tattoo. I have always found sleeve tattoos to be very cool, and I just don't think I have the stones to do it.
You know what you need? It's a face tat.
What?
You need a face
tat. I don't need a face tat. I have a face scar. I'm good.
The permanent kind.
I'm good to go. I'll never forget, just to tell the story one more time, getting that little itty-bitty mole removed from my chin. And right before the dermatologist took the razor to it, she goes, "Now this might leave a scar."
Yeah, you think?
I said, "Have you seen my face?" Story here from Fox 4, self-driving cars, robot servers, AI security guards. What's next for Kansas City? Could it be drones delivering your Amazon packages? Yes.
No.
According to Fox 4.
No.
On Wednesday morning, an Amazon spokesperson telling Fox 4 that the global company might be bringing drone delivery services, also known as Amazon Prime Air, to the air of Kansas City's metro. Quoting here from Andy DiOrio, quote, "We're reviewing options and working with local officials to possibly bring Prime Air to Kansas City, which would support our efforts to provide fast delivery and great service to local customers." Amazon Prime Air, according to the company, has seen significant success since it was launched in College Station, Texas, and Lockford, California in 2022. Now, almost 3 years later, the services have only become more advanced with a brand new MK30 drone released in November of last year.
How are we going to keep the drones away from all of the helicopters and the airplanes? You're just not going to have any Amazon delivery near airports? Think about it, Scott.
Well, you definitely couldn't up by KCI. You definitely could not. For example, if you lived in the River Market with the downtown airport right next door, I would imagine that the River Market would not be accessible for Amazon Prime Air.
Did I tell you about the update that was in the New York Times this week on the fatal helicopter passenger plane crash in Washington, D.C.?
No. What's up?
Oh.
What's up?
So the Times got some records from the NTSB, I believe. I'd have to go back and look. One of the federal agencies that collects the data on the near miss.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, this was not a near miss.
Oh, I'm aware. Okay. But this is about the near miss. The data shows that I believe as far back as 2011, they had one near miss per month, every single month, dating back all of those years. Scott, one per month, every single month.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
That if you had said to me they had one near miss every month for the last 3 months, I would say, why are we allowing helicopter traffics to do the zooming in and zooming out to practice to get the dignitaries out of it? This is a ridiculous place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
One a month for every month for many years. So, I took a screenshot of it. That paragraph, it was so unbelievable to me.
So we're talking about 14 years, a minimum of 12 per year.
Yep.
That's more than 150 near misses. And by the way, let's stop calling them near misses. They were misses. Near collisions. We're talking about 150 plus near collisions.
Where'd it go? I'm almost positive it was 2011 because I remember weird things like numbers that don't matter in my brain to me.
Why do we still have that military base open or that airport in that location?
I think the helicopter traffic has stopped. Clearly needed to.
One of the two has to move.
The other thing that it found was that, okay, you know when you and I are trying to talk to Sam in there or Logan and we press the button and you and I press the button at the same time,
yeah.
Sam cannot hear either one of us. Your button cancels out my button.
Correct.
It was the same thing on that helicopter where she was pressing the button to try to tell the tower something while they were pressing the button to try to tell her something and it cuts out and no one hears anybody. To which I said, why would we have the same system we have in this studio where we're trying to tell Sam, hey, can you cue up the fart noise? Okay, not critical if he can't hear us say that.
Right.
The same overlapping system that allowed her to not hear them and they couldn't hear her
right.
is allowed in that helicopter back to the tower.
But why do we have a military base with aircraft that close to Washington Reagan Airport? It doesn't make sense. And by the way, in the aftermath of that horrible tragedy, I believe it was on February 13th, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that area, we have since learned that Reagan National Airport handles four times more traffic than it was designed for when it was built.
Okay, so one of the pilots that they interviewed for the article said, you have to be so sharp and so on your A game. Not that every pilot shouldn't be.
Right.
But with this particular airport, you have to be the best of the best of the best every single time.
Well, when we interviewed shortly after the collision in February, you'll recall we had Commander Jesse Reed on,
yep.
who said when he was a commercial pilot, he would occasionally have to fly into Reagan, and it was his least favorite of all the airports he ever flew into.
Yep.
It was on those approaches where he had to really, really pay attention. Not that he wouldn't pay attention on any approach, but on those going into Reagan National, he had to be on his game. And I'm telling you right now, it boggles and baffles the mind why you have a military air base
yep.
that close to a commercial airport. It does not make sense, period. Full stop, end of story. I don't know any other young kid lingo. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Michael Bolton is revealing that he has suffered from brain cancer over the last couple of years. The singer, who's now 72, spoke to People magazine about his diagnosis of glioblastoma, an aggressive form of brain cancer. I believe it was glioblastoma that John McCain had. Bolton was diagnosed in December of 2023 after having emergency surgery to remove a brain tumor and underwent another brain surgery in January of 2024. Michael Bolton telling People in the interview that will be published tomorrow, check that today, that he finished radiation and chemotherapy treatment in October and his most recent scan was clear earlier this month. He said he has intentionally not received a prognosis, and People noted that glioblastoma has a roughly 90% recurrence rate. According to People, Bolton's treatments have impacted his short-term memory, his speech, and his mobility. He says he went on to have the diagnosis created a heightened sense of appreciation for life amid his cancer battle and is asking himself if he is doing, quote, the best that I can do with my time. I want to keep going. I feel there's still a lot to do on the fight side. I got a title for a song. Ain't going down without a fight. Bolton's daughter, Holly, who is 47, telling People that her father was, quote, singing within minutes while recovering from surgery in December of 2023. God bless him. Interesting story here from the Associated Press. During World War II, within the walls of the Nazi concentration camp Dachau, a Jewish prisoner secretly penned a short note and hid it inside of a violin that he had crafted, a message to the future that would remain undiscovered for more than 80 years. So keep this in mind.
Wow.
His name is Franz Kempa. He was from Poland. He did survive the Holocaust, by the way.
Okay.
So I'm going to get that out of the way right away. He was, it is believed, based on the violin that he made in Dachau, a very good violin maker prior to World War II.
Because, it's probably his craft.
Right. That's what they believe. Because he made this violin without the tools he would have needed to make a violin.
Wow.
He literally made it by hand with whatever little tiny tool he could find in the concentration camp. It is a beautiful violin. It looks like any other violin you would see in a music store. He made it without the tools needed to make the violin. But what he did, when he pieced the violin together, he put a note on the inside of the violin, a note that went undiscovered for 80 years. It was only when
how did they find it?
Well, it's in a museum over in Europe, and they sent the violin for repair.
Oh, wow.
And to repair it, they had to open it. When they opened the violin, that's when they found the note from Franz Kempa. And it reads, and I quote.
Wow.
Hang on, let me find the what. Okay, here it is. The note read, "Trial instrument made under difficult conditions with no tools, no materials. Dachau, anno, year 1941, Franz Kempa." He did survive Dachau, and they think in large part the reason he survived is the Nazis recognized his incredible ability to build violins.
Does it say, can they get that note back to his heirs?
It doesn't say, and I don't know if he has any. He died in 1953. It is in a museum in Hungary, and how it ended up in a museum in Hungary, no one seems to know. Says here, the documents suggest that Kempa was known to the Nazis as an instrument maker, something one of the art dealers believes may have spared him the fate of millions of others that perished in the concentration camps. Four individuals are at large after posing as police officers and robbing a deli in New York City.
They posed as deli robbing cops.
That is correct.
Okay.
On Sunday at 8:14 in the morning, police responded to a 911 call of a commercial burglary at a deli in Brooklyn. When officers arrived on the scene, they were informed that four unidentified individuals had entered a commercial establishment, displayed a firearm, and forced a 48-year-old man, a 68-year-old man, and a 40-year-old man to the ground. The robbery, which was captured on surveillance footage, shows the suspects were wearing NYPD jackets and zip-tied their victims. The individuals fled the scene with a bag of unknown property in a dark-colored van in an unknown direction. I knew that was coming.
Not funny, but no one was hurt. Put down the salami!
Says one official, bodega owners cannot and will not allow for these incidents to continue. Okay? Where did they get the NYPD jackets, I wonder?
Online.
By the way, and this is the only mention I'm going to make of this.
And they should also be charged with impersonation of a police officer, even though they were robbing. Honestly.
Well, of course. By the way, the woman who is accused of stabbing the Kansas City paramedic in the heart this week and killing him, she has bitten, it is believed, at least two police officers. The court has ordered her to undergo testing for the following diseases: HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. Her name is Shanetta Bassell. She is accused of biting two officers, one the week prior and one immediately after she allegedly stabbed
if you
Graham
have questions
the
about the legal process and why she was out on bond, go and find our podcast yesterday. We explored that in depth.
There are the 4 o'clock hour.
Fair questions A lot of answers we got about possible punishments in the murder and the senseless, infuriating loss of Mr. Hoffman. It just makes me sick.
News with Dan Weinmann coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.